It's the Kim Monson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
I find that it takes work to get your brain around these ideas, and it takes work to engage in these conversations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
With what is happening down at the State House, I used to think that it was above my pay grade to read the legislation, and it's not.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
I see big danger in as much as we will be giving an unelected bureaucrat the power to make rules about what we inject into our body.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Monson Show. I am Kim Monson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Monson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there and you can email me at Kim@KimMonson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who join us every day. You're each treasured. You're valued. You have purpose. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And you were made for this moment. We are at a time in history, and so we need to step into this moment. And I get to work with a great team, and that is producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Happy Thursday to you, producer Steve.
Yeah, happy Thursday. And your words hit home here about stepping into things. Because all too often the urge is to run the other way. So duly noted.
And that's why we do this show, is to search for truth and clarity on these issues by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And if something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do it. Socialism ultimately comes down to force. It's not about free stuff. That is just the carrot that politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties, those PBIs, use to get you to vote for them. And we see this now that putting in these very radical activist ideas. And the Democratic Party today is not the Democrat Party of JFK. It has moved so far to the radical activist left that people need to understand that. So we can no longer vote because somebody has an R or a D behind their name. And we need to vote for people that want to preserve and conserve this American idea. And remember, my friends, it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, property, freedom, or livelihood via force, whether with a weapon, policy, an unpredictable excess of taxation, fear, coercion, or the latest silent thief, which is government-induced inflation. We've got a great show planned for you today. Before we go to break, we'll be talking with Danielle Green, who is with Kershaw Insurance Group. At the bottom of the hour, we'll talk with Karen Levine. I saw her last night, and it is unbelievable, the limited inventory for housing, home ownership here in Colorado. And then Paula Sarles will be with us in the at the end of the third hour. And she's just tireless on her work with working with veterans. And there's a Women's Marine luncheon on Thursday. She'll talk about that. But Roger Hayes, who's also a partner of the show, they've had a name change from Premier Employer Services to Passio Human Resources, or HR. And we want to find out what's happening down at the State House regarding small to mid-sized businesses. Before we get into all that, though, our quote for today is from, let me find it here, Ludwig von Mises. He was an Austrian school economist, historian, logician, and sociologist. He wrote and lectured extensively on the societal contributions of classical liberalism, and that is different. Classical liberalism is different from liberals today, and what's happened, again, a co-opting of the word, this battle of the narrative. In fact, Kane had texted me after the show yesterday, and he calls himself a proud American Negro, and he's working to take the word Negro back. And we were just back and forth on a text message. It's that we are in this battle of language, this redefining of words. But anyway, von Mises was best known for his work on praxeology studies comparing communism and capitalism. He was born in 1881. He died in 1973. And this is what he said. He said, "The champions of socialism call themselves progressives, but they recommend a system which is characterized by rigid observance of routine and by a resistance to every kind of improvement. They call themselves liberals, but they are intent upon abolishing liberty. They call themselves Democrats, but they yearn for dictatorship. They call themselves revolutionaries, but they want to make the government omnipotent. They promise the blessings of the Garden of Eden, but they plan to transform the world into a gigantic post office. Every man but one is subordinate, a subordinate clerk in a bureau. Boy, Steve, he pretty well nailed that.
All the while you're reading that, I'm thinking of one person, and it's the Prime Minister of Canada.
Well, I can think of more than one.
That describes him to a T.
It really does. And I didn't really see any new developments on what happened with the Canadian truckers yesterday. But this is pretty remarkable. I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday who said that when you make Canadians mad, you've really done something, because typically they're very compliant,
laid back,
nice people, laid back people. And when you've got the Canadian truckers that have driven their trucks all the way to Ottawa, and the disruption that it is that is going to cause in everyday people's lives, and you see the people lined up by the highway, we know that there is something going on. And as we look at the headlines, though, these tyrants are backing down right now. But that does not mean that they're going to stop being tyrants. They're just going to stop, redirect, figure out a new, different way to be tyrants. And that is why it is so important that we continue to keep the pedal to the metal, if you will, on making sure that we're reclaiming our American idea, our liberty. Producer Steve.
Well, there is not just a small crack. It became a huge crack in that wall yesterday. The province, is that what they call their, call them states, they call them province. Alberta basically lifted all restrictions and mandates. So how is Trudeau going to deal with that?
This is so exciting. And yeah, this is so exciting. And as we go through the headlines here, there's really two things. There's you're seeing that some of the public policy, at least the headlines are that they're backing down. But I was talking with a friend of mine yesterday, and she works for a big corporation, and they still are requiring the vaccine for employment. And she has gotten a medical exemption. They would not accept it. And hopefully they'll accept a religious exemption. But Steve, how do we get to this spot in this country where an employer says that you have to inject something into your body for employment? And at the top of the hour on Thursdays, you ran that clip that you had captured where I said we are going to be in big danger if we get to a place where basically government can say what we put into our body. That was recorded long before COVID, but that was recorded when we were looking at this vaccine legislation down at the State House. Now I can't remember which year it was, but that was pre-COVID. But I had read the legislation and realized that that was a big problem. And so this whole tyrannical thing with Trudeau and Biden and these health departments, this just didn't happen for COVID. They've been preparing for this. But the veil is off. That is why we must be active in reclaiming our freedoms. And so it's just so important that we continue to understand this. And it's exciting as people are realizing what's going on. The Canadian truckers, I think there's going to be something here in America that standing up against these tyrants, they back down. Because tyrants don't have any courage. Tyrants are actually cowards. But they hide behind their power, and you just see that with Trudeau's producer, Steve.
Well, you embarrass a tyrant on the world stage, you can guarantee there will be some repercussions somewhere down the line. And I hate to even think about it, but you know, just hold your breath.
I know. And so we have to keep the, no pun intended, Steve, pedal to the metal on reclaiming our freedoms.
Oh, boy.
But, I like. But, producer Steve, as you know, this show comes to everybody because we have so many great partners. And one of those is Kirsch Insurance Group. And on the line with me is another one of our great sponsors, Danielle Green with Kirsch Insurance Group. They're specialists in the Medicare arena. That website is iKirsch.com. That's iKirsch.com. Danielle, welcome to the show.
Hi, Kim. Thank you for having me.
Danielle, a lot of baby boomers are reaching 65. And what do they need to know about Medicare?
Absolutely. That is a great question, Kim. So some of the basic things that I think is really important for people to understand about Medicare and when it is the right time to go forward with enrolling is we've got to get you started on your Part A and Part B. Now, for a lot of people, enrolling in Part B is going to be really based off of your individual needs. Are you continuing to stay on group coverage? Are you retiring and going on Medicare? And that is a process that we would sit down with you, talk to you over the phone about, and really lay out the options and what direction you need to go with when starting for Part A and B. When you do sign up for Part A and B, we can here help you do that, but you can also go to ssa.gov and sign up for it right there.
Okay. It always sounds so complicated working with government programs. To have you on a client side of the table has got to be really helpful. How much does it cost someone for this appointment?
Yep. Again, great question. So all of our services are free here at Kirsch Insurance. We're really here to be an advocate for everybody out there turning 65. Again, there is so much knowledge out there. It can be very confusing and very overwhelming. And we really try to simplify that process. Even when it comes to signing up for Parts A and B, that's something we can do here at the office with our clients and explain that to them and make sure it is appropriate time for them to be signing up.
Okay. And what about if people are going to turn 65, they need to be doing things before their birthday, correct?
Absolutely. So it's always that rule of thumb that 3 months prior to you turning 65. So about 3 months prior, you want to start doing your due diligence and signing up for Part A and Part B. That is one thing that we do see a delay in, getting those Part B dates back. We have to have Part A and B dates to get you completely signed up for Medicare.
Okay. And that is very important for people to do. So again, what's your website, Danielle?
Yep, absolutely. Our website is iKirsch.com. So you can just go to Kirsch Insurance.
Okay, great. Danielle Green, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again next week.
Hey, thank you, Kim. You guys have a wonderful day.
You too. And we'll be right back.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Steve, we need to talk about this whole election integrity thing here in Colorado. In the headlines, Tina Peters, who is the county clerk out in Mesa County, Jenna Griswold has been going after her, Jenna Griswold, the current Secretary of State, and need to understand the reason why. So, first of all, back in...
Wait a minute. Before you go down this road, let me remind you and everyone else that this line that we've heard how many times, that we live in the state that is the gold standard for election integrity.
That is language that has been out there for quite some time, that we live in the state with the gold standard. But as we're starting to peel back the layers, we're realizing that that is not the case. So back in the, summer of, 2021, Jenna Griswold said that she was getting all of the different county clerks and all the equipment ready for the 2021 election. And that they were coming in and they were doing, the state of Colorado was doing a trusted build. Now, bear in mind, by law, the logs, this is my understanding, this is really more just regular citizen understanding of all this. But by law, all of those logs are supposed to be kept for over 24 months. And so you'd have the 2020 election. Of course, we know that there's all kinds of questions about that. In 2021, Griswold comes in with this trusted build with all of these different county clerks. And what happened with Tina Peters is she took, again, my understanding, a forensic picture or a picture or has the records of what all those logs look like before Griswold's trusted build and after. And what actually had occurred is after the trusted build that Griswold did is a lot of those logs disappeared. Well, Tina Peters was one of the county clerks that actually felt it was her job just to make sure that nothing was lost. Well, it appears that something was lost. Well, once Griswold realized that those records are out there, she's been going after Tina Peters big time, and it's all over the headlines on a rather regular basis. So I'll stop here. Steve, any commentary you want to put in right now?
Well, you noted earlier in our pre-call that, Tina Peters was arrested, was it Tuesday? And then promptly, yes. Taken out of cuffs just long enough for a photo op. And, those pictures go a long way.
Well, they do. And this was from CBS4. And this, again, was on Tuesday. Mesa County Clerk, this is Tina Peters, was arrested by police on Tuesday morning. The Grand Junction Police Department says they were called to help the district attorney's office with an active investigation. Now we have to ask, what is that investigation exactly? It says charges are pending for obstruction of property, according to the Mesa County District Attorney's Office. An arrest affidavit is also being filed. Therefore, official details of the situation are not clear. Again, a lot of this is very ambiguous. It says, according to the Grand Junction Police Department, officers responded to a business in the 500 block of Main Street shortly before 10:45 a.m. Tuesday on a request to assist investigators with the Mesa County District Attorney's Office as they were executing a search warrant. I wonder what they were looking for, Steve, but we don't know that yet. So Peters was arrested and released on scene, to your point, photo op, pending charges. The arrest is related to events that occurred on Tuesday, is not related to any ongoing investigations. Well, I wonder what that was, Steve. We don't know that. The embattled clerk, and again, I love the wording they put there, is it does, when you start to put those descriptors in, it no longer becomes a news story. You're starting to see editorialism in it. But continue on. The embattled clerk has been involved in an investigation into an alleged election security breach involving voting equipment from her office. Colorado Secretary of State Jenna Griswold filed a lawsuit last month to ban Peters from overseeing the 2022 elections. Griswold's office has asked a Mesa County judge to appoint Brandy Bance as the new designated election official for Mesa County. She also announced her intention to appoint former Colorado Secretary of State Wayne Williams and current Mesa County Treasurer Sheila Reiner, both Republicans, as election supervisors to assist Bance as needed. Okay, I need to stop right there. Wayne Williams was the Colorado Secretary of State when the Dominion voting machines he actually ordered all of the county clerks in the state of Colorado to use the Dominion voting machines. And I remember that I was starting to pay attention to all this, that in Douglas County, Merlin Klotz, who was the county clerk and recorder, had sued that said that Douglas County did not want to use those machines. So he had to sue the Colorado Secretary of State. I'm thinking, well, this is weird. This is really weird that a Republican county clerk is suing a Republican Secretary of State. But anyway, Douglas County did not use those machines. And so I find it just, I can't, connecting a dot, it's just odd that the county, or the state, Secretary of State that ordered everybody, to use all counties to use Dominion, which is Wayne Williams, is now over here overseeing elections where the question has been what exactly happened on that trusted build. So, I mean, it seems like a very interesting web, Steve. Your thoughts?
Well, okay, I'm going to jump the gun here, but just a couple stories down is the fact that the headline reads, Griswold investigates Douglas County's top election official over alleged breach in security protocols. Now, is this payback?
I don't know the answer to that for sure. But anyway, I think that we pretty well have hit this. I guess let's finish it out so that people know this. And so I stopped with Secretary of State and Mesa County Sheila Reiner, both Republicans, are being appointed as election supervisors to assist bands as needed. It says the move is in direct response to Peter's refusal to confirm her intent to comply with security protocols as the chief election official in Mesa County. On January 10th, Griswold sent Peters an order and certification and attestation of compliance. There's that word, compliance, which would require Peters to certify that she would comply with election-related security protocols. Peters declined to sign the documents. In November of last year, search warrants were served to Peters after voting system information turned up on public websites as revealed earlier in 2021 by Griswold. Federal agents, as well as investigators from the Attorney General and District Attorney's offices, were involved in the raid on Peter's home. So, obviously, stay tuned on all of this. Okay, let's move to the 2022 election. And here in Colorado, at this point, we have three people that have registered with the state that they are running for Colorado Secretary of State. And one of those people is Pam Anderson. And I met her the other night at one of our Tapas and Topics, and she's very nice, and she comes across as very knowledgeable and has good credentials. She's a former Jefferson County clerk and recorder, as well as the former head executive director of the Colorado Secretaries of State. Excuse me, Colorado Clerk and Recorders. So that's kind of like the association that all these different county clerks, let me make sure I said that right. She's the former executive director of the Colorado County Clerks Association. So that is like the professional, kind of the association that, that the county clerks go to if they have questions. So it's an extremely important position. Just a note on that, Matt Crane is currently the executive director of the Colorado County Clerks Association. He is a former Arapahoe County clerk. He is a Republican, but his wife worked for Dominion for many, many years. So just wanted to make that point. What the problem here is, and I did ask Pam Anderson about this because I find this extremely troubling, is, and if you take a look at her campaign finance report on Colorado Secretary of State Tracer, there's a lot of really fine people that have contributed to her because I think people go, oh my gosh, we need to get a Republican Secretary of State. But I also have seen a number of names there that I've seen in past campaigns have really campaigned and a number of Republican operatives that have made a lot of money on different issues out there that have not been good for the state of Colorado. And I see a number of those names that have contributed to Pam Anderson as well. So, but the real problem here is I refer to Molly Hemingway's book, Rigged. It says how the media, big tech, and the Democrats seized our elections. And Molly Hemingway is, I think, the managing editor of The Federalist. And I find her a very credible journalist. And what she has noted here, and this is on page 211 in her chapter, Zuckerberg Should Be in Jail, is that Mark Zuckerberg and his wife Priscilla Chan gave $400 million to nonprofit groups, and this is straight from the book, that it says that were part of the conspiracy to control the 2020 election. Most of those funds, called Zuckbucks, were funneled through the Center for Tech and Civic Life, CDCL, which is a group led by three Democrats with a long history of activism. The couple also heavily funded the Center for Election Innovation and Research, a group run by a man who used to be the senior attorney at the left-wing People for the American Way. That group also funnels Zuckbucks to government entities. The problem with this, my friends, is, and it takes a while to unpeel what actually has happened out there, but if you go to this website, the Center for Tech and Civic Life, yes, there are these three Democrats with this long history of activism, but Pam Anderson, who is the one of the Republican candidates here in Colorado for Secretary of State, is the secretary on the board of directors of this organization. And I find that extremely troublesome. I don't know what else to say to you at this point, but I think it's important that you know that. And we're going to continue to assess what is happening with this Colorado Secretary of State race. But let's jump over here. Karen Levine, she is an award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance. And she's been in the business for a long time. Saw her last night. Karen, it's unprecedented what is happening in Colorado with home ownership. And you and I did that show a year or so ago on the World Economic Forum of you will own nothing and you'll be happy about it. Well, we're seeing this lack of inventory on home ownership, and that is a bedrock of the American dream. So tell us the latest numbers, Karen.
Well, the Colorado Association of Realtors report for the January statistics should come out today, and some of our spokespeople have made comments, like you said, Kim, unprecedented, and it's a term we use through, you know, these last couple of years with regards to COVID, but in Broomfield County, in the month of January, there were only 8 new houses that came on the market. That is unprecedented. Then my friend Sunny Banka in Aurora noted that there are only 164 units of active listings, families, condos, and townhomes in the entire city of Aurora. So when buyers are out in the marketplace and they are trying to make an offer and they are one of 24 buyers trying to purchase a home, prices are going above the list price by 16 to 20%. So on a $500,000 house, they're going $100,000 over the list price. And our first-time home buyers who have saved for their down payment don't have the wherewithal to be able to compete. And then one of the gals last night at our Wine and Tapas said that an investor known as BlackRock showed up at her door and wanted to give her $710,000 for her home that is worth about $585,000. So I just caution everyone in the marketplace to be aware that when you sell to an investor, a Wall Street investor, not a mom-and-pop investor who's going to buy it and be somewhat part of that community, but these Wall Street investors, they are taking away what home ownership in America is about, which provides security and safety and community.
Well, and Karen, you and Lauren are going to be on the show next week. You're going to co-host with me, and we'll talk about this a bit more. But one of our listeners, last time you were on the show, had reached out and said that because we talk about property rights all the time, Karen, and you're like, okay, this buyer comes in $100,000 above the price. I mean, that's real money to the seller. But I hadn't really thought about this, and that is these big investors have had access to all this cheap money, and that's been because government has kept interest rates so low, and they have access to all that. So that's going to be something that we'll have to unpack next week.
Most definitely.
And so I appreciate you keeping us informed. Again, Karen, this seems so concerning, but now that we are shedding light on it, I think that there's going to be a real movement to reclaim this property right to be able to have home ownership, but it's going to be a tough road. But I know that you are at the forefront because you work at the local and the state and the national level to protect private property rights. Karen Levine, what's your phone number?
My number is 303-877-7516, and I am happy to field any calls of people who have questions about the marketplace here in Metro Denver.
Oh, one other question before you go.
Yes.
The National Realtors Board had given money to the Colorado Association of Realtors to help the fire victims. Is there still money available to help fire victims for the Boulder County Marshall Fire with rent and all that? Is there still money in that pool?
As far as I know, yes, there's still money available, and we would like to get it into the hands of the victims to assist them in rent payments or mortgage payments so that they don't harm their credit while they're trying to restore their housing situation.
So if they give you a call at 303-877-7516, Karen, you can get them to the right place to apply for that, correct?
Yes. Yes. I will connect them with the foundation and get they can get their grant process started.
Okay, great. That's Karen Levine. Thank you so much, Karen Levine. And producer Steve, I blew through the bill of the day. So let's very quickly do that. People are reaching out and saying how much you appreciate this. And Patty comes up with these so that we know what's happening down there. This is Senate Bill 22-066. Its sponsors are Senator Rob Woodward, Republican, and Representative Kevin Van Winkle, Republican. And it says, restoring the unemployment insurance fund balance. And this is going to be important when we talk with Roger here in the next segment. And it says, this is the bill summary. It says that requires the state treasurer to transfer $1.1 billion from the general fund to the unemployment compensation fund to restore the balance of the fund to the fund's pre-pandemic level. And my friends, there is plenty of money down there at the State House to do this. And then also it requires the director of the Division of Unemployment Insurance to repay the federal government for the $1.014 billion of advances received from the federal government in responding to the COVID-19 pandemic. Steve, when we were doing the pre-call, I realized that word advances, we hadn't drilled down on that. So the federal government advanced that money, so we do need to pay that back. And, of course, they've been printing money to make all this happen. But good for Rob Woodward and good for Kevin Van Winkle for bringing forth that legislation. It'll be interesting to see what happens with that. We're going to go to break. When we come back, Roger Hayes, he is the owner of Passio HR, and that's been a name change. It had been Premier Employer Services, but they offer small to mid-sized businesses help with all this HR stuff that's out there. And so and he really keeps an eye on what's happening down at the state legislature. So he's going to give us his update.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Americans Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, Sunday afternoons at 3, here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. On the line with me is Roger Hayes. He is the owner of Passio HR, and that is a name change at the beginning of the year from Premier Employer Services. I love the new name, Roger.
Thank you. I appreciate that. We try to kind of give a better idea of who we are and what we care about and what drives us to help our customers and our small business partners.
And just to quickly explain to our listeners what Passio HR does.
So we're a professional employer organization, and we help small to mid-sized businesses with all of their back house boring stuff that is super critical. And we're talking about compliance, payroll, workers' compensation coverage, benefits administration, and then human resource administration. So handbooks and job descriptions, background screens, drug screens, things like that. But the biggest thing that we do is we help businesses stay in compliance because, you know, almost every single second of the day, the federal government or the state government comes out with new rules and regulations on how businesses are supposed to do things. And your comment about the unemployment trust fund is one of those kind of things where we have to stay in compliance when they pass new rules that, you know, companies have to pay higher taxes or they have to have a new, you know, a new program like the Family Act where they've got to now start paying into the Medical Leave Act here in Colorado. So we just make sure that people stay in compliance with all the other things they have to do so they can focus on running their business.
Well, and here in Colorado, I, from what I see, it's becoming less and less business friendly day by day. And let's talk a little bit about this unemployment trust fund. Not only was it spent down quite a bit during the COVID-19 Wuhan China virus reaction disruption when Governor Polis came out and he and his back channels said which businesses are essential, which aren't. In fact, Patty had a headline here that it looks like maybe half of the restaurants may close. I got to get that right. Steve, maybe help me out on that because I didn't flag that one. But many restaurants are very possibly going to close here in Colorado. And I think a lot of that is because of public policy. But going back to the unemployment trust fund, it was spent down, but then there was also a lot of fraud. And so this bill that Senator Woodward and Representative Van Winkle have, there's a lot of money down at the State House. That seems to me like a very good bill.
It is a good bill. Unfortunately, the people that are in the majority in the State House don't really probably agree with what you and I said. I don't know that it has a great chance to get through only because of the lack of support on the other side for it. So basically, you know, Colorado had a pretty hefty trust fund in case of emergencies to cover for unemployment. If we had a big spike, let's say the economy started to dip like it did in 2008, we had a mini recession. We have a trust fund that has a backup clause. Well, we've bankrupted that. It is completely empty. And because so many people went out during COVID and so many of them were, you know, forced to go out, it wasn't that the economy really decided to make the change as much as the government forced the change. And so many people were out on unemployment normally. And then to top it off, we had an enormous amount of fraud. And Colorado was not alone. We operate in 30 different states around the country. We have clients and employees in those places, and every single state in the union had fraud. The fraudsters overseas and in some parts of the U.S. realized very quickly that these UI departments did not have a lot of things in place to protect against mass fraud in a time like that. And so they took really good advantage of it, and they cleaned out a lot of cash. So what ended up happening is Colorado borrowed a lot of money from the federal government to keep their unemployment insurance money flowing. And that's part of what this bill does is rather than have the businesses pay that back with higher rates, because it wasn't their fault, they didn't make that decision, Senator Winters said, hey, let's just have the state fund that money in full so it doesn't impact the businesses, which in turn will, you know, further impact their employees. Because if you have to pay more unemployment insurance, you may not be able to keep a person or two around and you're going to reduce your staff. So it's a great bill. I just don't know how far we're going to go with it.
And Roger, what you just said, I find it so interesting, is here government says that they want to help people that lose their job with this unemployment trust fund. But then what they do, because of their bad decisions and not watching the fraud, they will now have to go to employers if the state of Colorado doesn't step in and pay this back to the federal government. They're going to go to employers who will have to pay higher costs, and they don't have these money trees in their backyards that they can just pay everything. So they may have to let somebody go or not hire somebody. So the actual effect is less people will be employed, but the reason is because government's involved in this, and when government gets involved, typically the price goes up, the quality goes down, and the supply becomes limited. We're going to go to break here in just a minute. Before we do that, though, we're going to talk to Paula Sarles, but why don't you button this up? What's your final thoughts on this particular issue, Roger?
I think the state's going to do some. They're going to go part way. I know there's a lot of folks in the Capitol that want to do something. They're just not going to go to this extent. And I'd love to see this bill pass. I'd love to see it pass out of committee. It's already been assigned. There's hearings coming up. So I would love to see this thing go through. But unfortunately, watching what has happened in most of the other states in the country, I'm afraid businesses are going to kind of take a hit. And I'd like to see that stop. So hopefully we can do the right thing here in Colorado and get this bill through.
Okay. Well, good for Senator Woodward and for Representative Van Winkle for that. We're going to go to break here in just a minute, but we want to talk with Paula Sarles. And she just does tireless work, first of all, for the remodeling of the United States Marine Memorial out here in Golden. But also there is a luncheon of the Marine women this Saturday, and wanted to talk with Paula about that. Do we have Paula, Steve?
Yes, I'm
okay.
Here.
Okay, Paula, great to have you. Tell us what's happening this Saturday.
Well, we're very excited. This is the 79th anniversary of when women became a permanent part of the Marine Corps. And we have a star-studded lineup of people that will be attending. But our guest speaker, our keynote speaker, is Lieutenant General Lori Reynolds. And she's only the second Lieutenant General in the Marine Corps that's a woman. And she's done some phenomenal things. She just recently retired, so I'm real excited to hear her story. And then we have Major Creasy, who is an F-18 weapons systems officer, and we're very excited to have her also speak. She's the first female on the Special Anglico team in combat, so this will be really exciting to hear what they have to say. And we'd like to invite especially women Marines to attend, but anyone is welcome. And it's
Saturday, right?
Right, Saturday at 11:30. We start the ceremony at 11:30, so get there a little earlier. And you can pay at the door, but you need to let me know you're going. And
so that there's enough food for everybody.
We're all on our website at WMACO1.org.
Okay, all that information is WMACO1.org. And it is Thursday. I would imagine it would be great for everybody to have their reservations in by the end of today so that you can plan for food. But people can still get a ticket, correct?
Yeah, there is room for a couple people to come last minute at the door, but we tried to get them to register ahead online.
Well, that's super helpful.
Wonderful.
And Paula, you're also doing such great work getting this United States Marine Memorial remodeled out here in Golden. And I know it's a real labor of love. And how can people help you with that?
Well, they can go online and learn about it and donate at usmcmemorialfoundation.org.
And again, I think as we think about all these people that have been willing to put their lives on the line so that we can live in freedom, these are just small things that you can do. Paula Sarles, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Kim.
Okay, and before we go to break, just wanted to give a shout out to Castlegate Knife and Tool, family-owned business located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. They have knives from the best blade makers from throughout the world. And, of course, Valentine's is coming up, so they are a great place to get your Valentine a gift. If your Valentine is a chef or a sportsman or a collector, Castlegate Knife and Tool is the place for you. That website is castlegate.com. Castlegate.com. We'll be right back with Roger Hayes.
Three Points Financial is a fiduciary financial planning company focused on helping individuals and families. Mary Alpers and Steve Kruse at Three Points Financial specialize in investment strategies, tax planning and preparation, and retirement planning with no product sales or commissions. Tax laws have changed and will continue to change. Inflation is real. Three Points Financial helps you maneuver through these changes to achieve your financial success. For clarity and a solid, relevant financial and investment plan, while working with a company that puts your interests at the forefront, schedule a no-obligation initial consultation at threepointsfinancial.com. That's threepointsfinancial.com.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. Before we get back to Roger Hayes with Paseo HR, this weekend is the Super Bowl, and Hooters Restaurants is the place to watch the game. They have five locations: Lone Tree, Westminster, Aurora, Colorado Springs, and Loveland. And of course, they have all these different TVs that you can watch the game. But on Sunday, the 13th, you can catch all the big game action at Hooters, and every Hooters in Colorado is going to be giving away one free 65-inch Samsung TV during the big game. All you have to do is be at Hooters for the game and register, and let's see here, they'll give it away. I think the registration closes, well, they have all the details, and that's all at my website. But you don't have to buy anything, although I'm sure they'll have all kinds of specials, and I do like their fish and chips. But again, that sounds like a pretty fun thing to do. You have to be there in order to win it, but at each of the Hooters restaurants, they will give away a TV. And again, they have locations in Lone Tree, Westminster, Aurora, Colorado Springs, and Loveland. Roger Hayes, Paseo HR, what other legislation is either on the table there or you see coming down the pike here at the Capitol that small businesses, mid-sized businesses should be concerned about?
Well, usually we have a lot more going on for business at the moment, but it's been a slow start this year. So I don't know, you know, I wouldn't make that assumption that that's a good sign. It just, I think they've gotten off to a slow start because there's a number of things that are possibly coming. There's been a lot of talk about anti-business type legislation, typical stuff that's going to impact. But absolutely nothing's really been introduced yet. It hasn't got a bill number or been assigned to committee. So we're still waiting to see if some of the rumors out there. I really don't have a lot. The only main bill that's out there was the one we just talked about that, you know, Woodward and Van Winkle have put in. We're kind of waiting to see. One of the big things that happened recently is the state Supreme Court did agree last week to hear the Tabor case, where in reference to the Family Act. So that's an interesting thing that may have a big impact if the state Supreme Court rules that the family money does in fact violate Tabor. That would have a big impact on that brand new piece of legislation, that new program that they're starting in the state of Colorado. So that's something to keep an eye on for everybody, because that could have big news.
Okay, now the family, I have myself, I think, a little mixed up. There was an initiative that we put, was that through the legislature, or did we pass that family through an initiative?
The legislature dropped the ball, so they put it on the ballot. And that was pushed through as an initiative. And basically what people are talking about is that the way it was worded and the fact it's actually a tax. And but it wasn't listed as a tax. You know, this was kind of one of those fancy, fast talking, you know, rearrange the words kind of thing to make it sound really cool, but not tell us what's really going on. And so the state Supreme Court's going to see if it is, in fact, a new fee program for family that businesses and employees have to pay is not, in fact, a tax. I don't know what the chances are, given the current makeup of our current state Supreme Court. But that's what's going on. There's been a challenge to it that it actually violated Tabor and should have gone on the ballot as a Tabor-type initiative. But it wasn't listed that way. We didn't vote on it that way. We just voted on it as a new cool program that's going to give a bunch of people lots of money.
Right. And okay, just set that up a little bit more. What does that do exactly? And it was FAMLI. It was called the Family Act, And what does that do exactly? Because I know people, I talked to people, it was promised that if you're, say you had, your parents were near the end of their life and they were in hospice, that you could take time off, be paid, and help take care of that loved one. Well, that sounded good to a lot of people. Or I think if somebody had a new baby, they could take time off, and they're like, oh my gosh, that would be great, take time off and get paid. But it's really hard on small businesses, because it's difficult if you're paying somebody that's not there working. You still have a business to run. So it really is hitting small businesses, yes?
That is absolutely correct. You know, unfortunately, they bring out cases, and everybody does it. All sides do it, unfortunately. But you find these examples where there's a small business that the owner may not be the nicest person in the world, and they don't offer vacation time, or they don't offer paid leave so that you can go home and take care of your kids. And there's always stories out there, but they're not the majority. Most companies in Colorado already offered some sort of paid leave programs, and this was an opportunity for the state to step in, take more control over our lives. You know, the nanny state gets going. You can now, what's going to happen is businesses are going to have to pay what is essentially a tax into a fund program, just like unemployment. You're going to pay into this program, and your employees are going to pay part of their paychecks into the same program. And then when an employee wants to take time off for a vast number of reasons, whether it's their own medical health and they need time off to recover from a surgery, or they're fighting an illness, or they want to take time off to help a parent, a loved one child, it's got a pretty broad list of who you can take time off for and what the reasons are. Then you can put in a claim, like workers' compensation or unemployment, you can put in a claim to the state of Colorado, and they will fund your payroll. Not the employer, but to the employee. They'll send checks to the employee, just like they do with workers' comp or with unemployment. They'll send you money so you can take time off and be paid. And so it sounds really cool. It doesn't sound like a big deal, but it's incredibly expensive. And employers, especially the smaller ones, on top of all of the other things that they have to pay for, now they have this added bonus. And the biggest fear down the road is, and I know Patty did a lot of research on this. I remember listening to your show. She talked about it. In the other states that they've been in, it was always vastly underfunded to start with. And surprise, down the road, the legislature comes back, the state comes back and starts raising the rate very quickly, and they almost always put it on the business. You know, they sell it as it's a 50-50 kind of a deal. The employee's going to pay part, the employer pays part. What could be more fair? But the catch is, and there's always a catch, once they realize they don't have anywhere near enough money for the amount of people who start putting in for time off, much like that unemployment insurance trust fund, there's too many people and not enough cash, the system goes bankrupt quickly, and then they start raising the rates very fast. And they almost always raise the rates on the businesses because they don't want to raise the rates on the employees.
Well, and as it was structured initially, though, I'm thinking, because you saw, I think it was almost 50% of this was being paid by the employee. Well, all these young people out there that are trying to make ends meet, they would like to have that money, I think, in their pocket, instead of giving it to the state of Colorado. And you know there's all kinds of administrative costs as well. Roger, just a question, though, and I can't remember. So, well, first of all, I hope that the courts rule that this is an affront on Tabor, Colorado's Taxpayers' Bill of Rights, because it is. And again, yes, we talk about the war of language. They call it a fee instead of a tax to get around Tabor. But if you put your hands in your pocket, the money's still gone one way or another. But I had to have some tech support on something, and the person was in Arizona, and we were talking about working from home, and he said, yes, there's just a few states where we cannot have people employed that they can work from home. And I said, is Colorado one of them? And he said, yes. And was it because of this family late? Because there was a real overreach on one of these, either this or the legislation, that that if somebody had an employee here in Colorado, that that law applied to them throughout the country. And so what they said is, we're just not going to have people in Colorado. Was it this or was it something else? Do you recall or do you remember?
Yeah, I remember Johnson & Johnson got, you know, made news because they got rid of their at-home employees here in the state, weren't hiring any new ones because of this act. And I do believe it was the Family Act was the big one. Because of the way it was written, it's very California-esque. California likes to reach out and tax people on money that isn't spent in California. Because you have a nexus in California, they then take it upon themselves to say, well, then we should get a cut of the money that you're making in every other state, too. That's only fair. Because they've completely destroyed their business economy, and they're running out of money because they keep giving so much of it away. They found a unique way to enhance their pockets is to reach out and take people's money from other places they do business. And this bill was similar. So there's a number of businesses that are domiciled outside the state of Colorado that have said, you know what, we just aren't going to hire anybody in Colorado. So, that goes a long way to helping us with our employment, doesn't it? Because now all of a sudden you have companies saying, hey, I'm not going to hire anybody. And the folks I do have there, I'm going to cut them loose and I'm going to hire somebody somewhere else. Because the state of Missouri doesn't have a stupid law like this, and I don't want to have to comply with it because I've got 8,000 or 800 or 80 employees around the country. I don't want to have to pay for this program for them.
Boy, Roger, you have just so nailed it. And bad policy ultimately comes back to hurt people. We're out of time, but Roger Hayes, he is the owner of Passio HR. Always great to have you on the show. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Kim. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, and our quote today is from Von Mises, and he said, the advocates of public control cannot do without inflation. They need it in order to finance their policy of reckless spending and of lavishly subsidizing and bribing the voters. So my friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you and God bless America.